not a program in Travis or Williamson County this morning better than the one you just heard. That was great. Today we are celebrating freedom. You know, freedom is a beautiful thing, precious thing, fragile thing. Surely you know that freedom is a costly thing. We can't take it for granted. We shall not take it for granted. Listen to me. Freedom should be celebrated. I'll tell you one of the unfortunate things about freedom is we tend not to appreciate it until we lose it or until we have to fight for it. The British newspaper entitled Telegraph printed this article on May the 8th of this year. Three Spanish journalists who were kidnapped last July in the war-torn Syrian city of Aleppo have returned safely to Spain. Antonio Plampiga, Jose Lopez, and Angel Sastre stepped off a defense ministry plane at Torjan Air Base near Madrid on Sunday morning. The three journalists went missing on July 12, 2015, near the city of Aleppo in northern Syria. They had traveled to Syria to report on the war when they disappeared. Reports suggested they had been kidnapped by a group linked to Al-Qaeda fighting in Syria. It's unclear whether the three had been traded to another group or not. The men said they'd been kept in small rooms just big enough to exercise in. They could not tell whether they had remained in Aleppo the whole time or not. In August 2014, an Islamic State group decapitated James Foley, an American journalist who was seized in northern Syria in 2012. So understandably, anxiety for the three Spaniards ran high. When notified of the release, the mother of Mr. Pambliga told the press, "When I spoke to him by telephone, it was wonderful. He had the same voice as when he was a child, and he kept saying he was sorry for what he'd put me through." Visibly tired and emotional, the three were being greeted by government officials when Mr. Pamblika's sister ran across the rain-swept tarmac, screaming as she hugged her brother. That was 2 months ago. You can bet these three men do not take freedom for granted today. These three men who for a year were robbed of their freedom celebrate freedom. They recognize how beautiful it is. They recognize how precious freedom is. They'll celebrate the day they were set free for the rest of their lives, and so should we. I'm not quite sure that's where we are, though. We've always been free, most of us. We've been born free. You know, we are as comfortable in our freedom as we are in a worn pair of old blue jeans. Freedom to us is just a birthright. We can't help but take it for granted. That's why it's good for us to celebrate Independence Day. That's why it's good for us to celebrate our freedom. That's why it's good for us to set aside a service like this and give attention to our independence. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Paul says, "Christ has liberated us into freedom. Therefore, stand firm and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery." That's a powerful verse. one that our forefathers read. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, "For you are called to freedom, brothers, only do not use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love." Celebrating freedom. Our freedom has multiple layers. We want to kind of give a respect to some of those here this morning. Let's begin with freedom of religion. Paul, in our passage, is primarily talking about freedom from Judaism. But the concept he's describing here applies to all freedom of religion. Our history is rooted in freedom of religion. A little bit of history. In 1534, under the leadership of King Henry VIII, England broke free from Roman Catholicism and started a brand new religion. They started the Church of England. As you might imagine, under King Henry VIII's leadership, it was full of corruption. So there was a group within the Church of England, this new national religion, who wanted to purify the church of all its corruption. They were named Puritans. Purify, Puritans. But after investing a considerable amount of time trying to purify the new religion, many of them just gave up on ever purifying the Church of England, and they decided just to separate from the Church of England. They were called by two names. They were called Separatists, separate. They were also called Pilgrims. Well, the problem with separating from the Church of England was it was synonymous with separating from the King of England. King of England had the authority over the church, and so they were separating also from the King of England, and so they were viewed as being treasonous. So these separatists, these pilgrims, were persecuted, they were pressured, they were threatened with imprisonment. And so in 1607, they left. They left England. This may be news to you. They didn't come to America. They went to Holland. They went to Holland where they enjoyed some element of religious freedom, but the morals there were just so perverse. The morals in Holland were so perverse that after 10 years of raising their children there, they were disgusted by the way their children were being affected by perverse immorality in Holland. So after 10 years, they decided to leave Holland. And in 1620, they made an agreement with a London stock company to finance a trip to the New World. And so these pilgrims left for America on a rickety little ship called the Mayflower. Of course, they were blown off course. Their intention was to join the Virginia Company that had been chartered by the new King of England, King James, but they were blown off course, and they wound up landing in what we now know as Plymouth, Massachusetts. But before disembarking, they wrote the Mayflower Compact. And for the rest of that history, you've got to read my book. So, our history is rooted in seeking freedom of religion. Now, let me just warn you, liberals and secular humanists are beginning to say that's not true. They're beginning to say, that's not the way it was, or that was not a very important part of what it was, but I'm here to tell you, don't you listen to them. You go read some old history books. Don't read the books they're writing now. No, don't do that. You go read some old history books, because those old history books will tell you the way it really happened. The Pilgrims came here and established the Plymouth Colony and became the foundation of what we know today as the United States of America. They came primarily for two reasons. One, to find freedom of religion from strong state pressure. And two, to deliver their children from perverse moral influences. Does any of this sound familiar to you today? Any of this sound familiar to you? Today, those of us who follow the Lord and are seeking purity, to those of us who are standing on Scripture and standing on the Bible, are we under any kind of pressure from culture to be quiet and to conform? Are we under any pressure today to be tolerant and to go along with the pressure of culture? Are we? We are separatists. That's who we are. That's who you are. That's who I am. I don't know whether you are or not. We share the spirit of the Pilgrims. Are our children being raised in a culture with perverse morals? Are our children being swayed away? Are our children being convinced that we're nutty? Are our children beginning to view us as old stick-in-the-muds because of our morality? Does that describe anything about where we are today? You betcha! Our freedom of religion is being slowly eroded away from us. People, we're facing the same thing our ancestors faced, only there is no America to which to flee. We have to stand here and take a stand for freedom of religion. I'm kind of keeping myself calm. Another freedom that's important to us as we unfold these layers: freedom from tyranny. Fast forward from 1620 to 1776. Having escaped forced religion of England, we are still under the forced tyranny of England. Not us, but they were. Listen again to the concept which Paul is exposing us here in our passage, chapter 5, verse 1. Christ has liberated us into freedom, therefore stand firm and don't submit again to the yoke of slavery. Verse 13, you are called to freedom, brothers. These verses and many others like them echoed in the hearts and the minds of our founding fathers, most of whom were serious followers of Christ Jesus. Freedom from tyranny burned hot and deep in their heart. It wasn't a conviction they had, it was a fire in their bellies they had. We will not be bullied, is where they stood. Mendel Taylor quotes one of the early sources this way: Declaration of Independence is not only one of the world's great political documents, it is also and primarily a religious Magna Carta, written and signed by men to whom religion was all important as the basis of lasting freedom. Its glowing principles were written with a firm reliance upon the protection of divine providence. Among the 56 signers, none was an unbeliever. Before they strode forward to append their signatures, each man bowed his head in prayer. Today we're celebrating that Declaration of Freedom. Today we're celebrating that Declaration of Independence. We're trying to get inside their lives and sense the seriousness with which they signed that document. Knowing what they were risking by signing that document. An independence born in the Bible of Christ and birthed by followers of Christ. Let me say a few things here that we want to always remember. First, freedom from tyranny was declared by the courage of patriots. Primarily, by the way, primarily because of the convictions imparted to them from Scripture, like the passage we're looking at today. But freedom from tyranny was purchased by the blood of patriots. By the way, similar to the way Jesus purchased our freedom from the tyranny of sin through his blood. They were conscious of that. They were thinking of that. And then one last thing, freedom from tyranny is sustained by the blood of patriots. That continues on today. Freedom is always a very costly thing. Difficult for those of us sitting back here in comfortable Pflugerville to remember. Let me ask you something this morning. You consider yourself a patriot? Are you patriotic? American Demographics did a survey asking the question, how well does the word patriotic describe you? And to me, these results are discouraging. In the age group 60 and up, 77% said they would describe themselves as patriotic. That's my age group, by the way. In the age group between 50 and 59, 67% described themselves as patriots. It's a 10-point drop. In the age group between 35 and 49, only 44% said they were patriotic. That's a 30-point decrease. 30 points. But here's what concerns me. Among millennials, between the ages of 18 and 34, just 35% would describe themselves as patriotic. Oh, man. It's a third of them. Two-thirds of Americans between the ages of 18 and 34 find no significance in this service this morning. Two-thirds of them would say this is a meaningless service. To them, patriotism is dead. They would not describe themselves as patriots at all. Two-thirds. That's not the next generation. That's the beginnings of this generation. And I'm not trying to put a bullseye on anybody here this morning, but I just want to say to you, that is sad. That's sad. I know one group of millennials who's not confused about or bashful about calling themselves patriots. That's young men and women in uniform today. An ABC correspondent was interviewing a young African-American soldier in a tank platoon on the eve before a big surge into Iraq. And he asked him, how do you think the battle will go? Are you afraid? We'll do okay. We're well trained. I'm not afraid, the GI answered, gesturing toward the buddies around him. I'm not afraid because I'm with my family. The other soldiers shouted, "Tell him again, he didn't hear you." The soldier repeated, "This is my family, and we'll take care of each other." See, that's the spirit of a patriot. A patriot is someone who's willing to spill blood for country and comrades. Being a patriot is such that I'm willing to die for my country. I'm willing to step out of the soft shoes of Pflugerville today. And I'm willing to follow my ancestors and take a stand against the possibility of tyranny from anybody, from anybody. I'm not going to tolerate anything. I'm not going to go along with anybody. I'm not going to be tepid about anything. I'm not going to be polite about anything. I'm willing to spill my blood in order to defend this life. That is freedom from tyranny. Catherine Floyd, now a retired school teacher, tells one of her students, a boy named Luigi, who was a first-generation immigrant. And while Catherine was teaching a class about the Declaration of Independence and the great price those who signed that document had to pay with blood and family and property, she was passing around a copy of the Declaration of Independence. And as she was talking, she noticed that it came to little Luigi, and he listened to her, and he looked down there at that Declaration of Independence, and he picked up his pen, and he signed his name to the bottom of that list of names. That's a patriot. That's a patriot. Someone who knows what it's going to cost and values our freedom so much they're willing to sign their name to the same document that cost 56 others their lives and their freedom and their families and their fortune. Today, willing to do so. We still, maybe for not much longer, we still have freedom from tyranny because of patriots. May their numbers increase. One last freedom, and the most important, freedom in Christ. Have you noticed the theme? It's kind of heavily run through everything we've talked about here this morning, the common theme, Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus is the theme that's run through everything we've talked about here this morning. You may only hear that here, but it's the truth. Jesus has been at the heart of it from the very beginning. Jesus is the source of all true freedom. After describing himself as God's truth, Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And the thing that's gotten so hopelessly lost over the last few decades is that our founding fathers recognized this. They knew it. Jesus and the teachings of Jesus are reflected in the Declaration of Independence. They're reflected in the Constitution. They're reflected in the Bill of Rights. They're reflected in their quotes. They're reflected in their writings. They're reflected in the offices they held, the documents they produced. The teachings of Jesus permeated the founding fathers in all their documents. So what happened? How have we gotten to where we are? The name of Jesus can't even be mentioned in many places now. This may shed some light on what's happened. Toward the close of the Civil War, after Abraham Lincoln had signed the Emancipation Proclamation freeing slaves, he spoke to slaves that he had just freed on the steps of the Confederate capital in Richmond, Virginia, not long before their defeat was finalized. This is what he said: "My poor friends, you are free, free as air, You can cast off the name of slave and trample on it. Liberty is your birthright. Now, don't let your joy carry you into excesses. Learn the laws and follow them. See, I think that's what's happened to us. We're set free by Jesus Christ, but we've not followed his laws. We've been overwhelmed by the excesses of freedom in Christ. We have been swayed by and submerged in the freedoms given to us by Christ Jesus, but now we're ignoring his laws. This is fascinating to me. Catholic priest and author Francis Canavan wrote this. Listen to this. We did away with state churches in this country so that all Protestants could feel at home in it. We de-Protestantized the country so that Catholics too could feel at home in it. We have de-Christianized the country so that Jews feel welcome, and then de-religionized it so that atheists and agnostics may feel equally welcome. Now we are demoralizing the country so that deviants from accepted moral norms will not feel excluded. The lowest common denominator we've discovered is like the horizon, always approached but never reached. I want to tell you something. Our founding fathers didn't care about the lowest common denominator. They had no interest in making a constitution and a government where everybody felt comfortable. They had no interest in redefining God's law and the country that God started so that everybody felt comfortable. Our founding fathers were interested in establishing a government, a constitution, and a nation upon the teachings of Jesus Christ. That's what's happened. We're no longer following his teachings. And we're lost in it. We're lost in it. Today, let's celebrate freedom. Let's celebrate freedom of religion. Let's celebrate freedom from tyranny and the blood that bought it and sustains it. And let's celebrate freedom in Christ for as long as we can. Agreed? Pray with me.